A tale of two navies, one hyper-focused on making the sailor feel safe and warm and welcome, and the other intent on world domination. If we were truly worried about winning a battle, which navy would you want fighting for you? Just a question. Also, a win in the transgender sports arena? Maybe. Disney continues to go woke and go broke, and finally, drag queen and king story hour in a church backfires in a super awkward way. I'm Matt Odegaard, and this is Church Public. Welcome back to Church Public. I'm Matt Odegaard, and I really appreciate you coming by today. Your time is valuable, and I appreciate it. This is a podcast, a place, a ministry helping you understand who Jesus is and how to live in this crazy world, especially as a Christian. It seems harder and harder to have Christian values and take them outside of your home, outside of your church, into the public, so I call it Church Public, into the public and live according to the Bible, and be in the world but not like the world. That's what we try and do here. If you haven't already, like and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are watching or listening to. And if you're just listening and not watching, you can get the video. Yes, there is a video. You can get the video at YouTube, of course, some of the other platforms, depending on if YouTube takes things down from time to time, and also churchpublic.com/podcast. You can get the latest video there. You can always search for other videos and podcasts from the past. There's a wide library at this point of various topics. And today we're just going to look at some of the news topics because there's a lot of craziness happening and I want to help you understand it, unpack it, and view it from a Christian perspective. So without further ado, let's look at some of the things that are going on. So we have a tale of two navies. This is a story that I saw, and actually it was two separate stories, but I'm putting them together because I think they belong together. First, we have America, the American Navy, teaching you how to use pronouns correctly. And no, this isn't a joke. This is actually a video that the Navy put out. Here you go.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I am Kanchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question. A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language. Instead of saying something like, "Hey guys," you can say, "Hey everyone," or...
Okay, that's about enough of that, but you get the idea. Using the right pronouns is a simple way to, quote, affirm someone's identity, according to this video. And they go on to say that it's a signal of acceptance and respect, and things like it makes them feel safe. So my question is feeling safe, is safety really the mark of a military soldier? If you're in the military, is feeling safe your main goal, or is being as tough as possible so that when you encounter the enemy who's not going to make you feel safe, I mean, that's enemy, it's kind of in the word, right? If you're a soldier and your goal is to beat the other soldier or the other army or the other navy in this case, is feeling safe, is feeling secure, is that really the biggest goal? Just a question. You'll have to figure that one out for yourself. Meanwhile, this is why it is a tale of two navies. China is presenting and has unleashed their biggest and best carrier to date, apparently. Here is a look at that. Here is the unveiling of their biggest and best carrier ever, apparently. So this carrier, according to this, it's the most advanced ever. It's very close to the capability of U.S. carriers, which is kind of a, you know, problem when you're going head to head. And China clearly, as they have stated, really want to dominate the world. I mean, that's kind of what it seems like they're into at this point. This post by CNN, if you're just listening and not watching, says, well, the American Navy is probably still superior. I hope so. I hope so. And I mean, that's really the thing. If they are focused on putting out carriers and creating the biggest and best warriors possible. You know, I didn't pull a clip. There was a clip earlier of that I came across of some of the Chinese warriors training, and they train hard. And this is no knock against those warriors in our Navy who train hard. I know there are some. I'm friends with some. I'm relatives with some. And so I appreciate some of the soldiers. My point is this. Do you want a Navy who creates a safe space for those contained in it? Or do you want a Navy who creates the basically biggest and baddest soldiers possible to fight those that would come against America, etc., and its allies? Just a question, just something to consider as we're going through this pronoun shenanigans. Anyway, let's move on to Disney again. I feel like I'm saying the same story over and over again, and I kind of am, but the point is, it just keeps continuing. The story keeps continuing. So, Disney stated months ago, they originally cut a scene with a lesbian kiss from the new Lightyear movie. The Lightyear is the origin story of Buzz Lightyear. And apparently then they added it back into Pride Month and as a response to Florida's Parental Rights and Education Bill, which of course the opposition deemed the Don't Say Gay Bill, which it didn't say. This Parental Rights and Education Bill, which I've done a long thing on, you can go back to churchpublic.com and listen to that. It stated you cannot sexually indoctrinate children under third grade, which to me is not even enough, but at least it is a start. So after including or re-including this lesbian kiss, as I mentioned on a previous episode, the film was banned in 15 plus countries. I think that's 15 and counting at this point, and it crashed at the box office. That's the thing that we want to talk about here today. Go woke, go broke. As of note, it's also important to note that Buzz Lightyear's voice for over 15 years, Tim Allen, which you may have grown up on. I mean, it's been since like 95, I think was when Toy Story came out. Tim Allen has been the voice of Buzz Lightyear. He is Buzz Lightyear. Patricia Heaton, his co-star in Home Improvement, said, Tim Allen is Buzz Lightyear. Why would you replace him? So Tim Allen was replaced by Captain America actor Chris Evans. Now, I looked and I could not find a confirmation of why specifically Evans replaced Allen for the Buzz Lightyear voice. I can guess that Tim Allen, who is an open conservative in Hollywood, and of course in Hollywood you can't be an open conservative at this point, and Evans is strikingly not. Evans is also a much bigger current star. This is kind of a side point, but you know, he's been Captain America, he's been in all these Marvel movies, he's done a lot more recently than Tim Allen has, so presumably he probably drew a much higher salary than Allen would have. But in the never-to-let-cost-deter-them fashion, Disney seems to be much more interested in the message than the actual return on investment. And in comparison, I think I mentioned this the other day, but Top Gun has blown out the box office. It's a great movie. It's a fun movie. It's a movie about, I mean, functionally America. There are giant American flags in it. It celebrates the armed forces rather than what we just talked about with the Navy. It celebrates them, which they should be. We should believe in America. We should celebrate America, which Top Gun does. And the fighters are the best fighters in their fighter jets in the world. And it's amazing to watch. It's a great story. It's just a little bit of fun. But it has, I didn't look up today's numbers, but it was over $800 million when I last looked. I mean, it's done incredible in the box office locally and around the world. Lightyear brought in a much smaller return than so far expected. It was predicted on the opening weekend to hit $85 million, but then right before the weekend, that prediction was lowered to $55 million, but actually came in only around $51 million. And apparently it cost somewhere in the $200 million to produce and hundreds of millions to market. So they're needing somewhere around like $500 or $600 million to even break even at this point, according to reports that I have read. So 50 compared to 600, again, for those that are good at math, is a lot less. And presumably, it's mostly because of Disney's backlash against children and their fight against traditional family values, and including this, for the first time, lesbian kiss in their animated movie. Now, Evans, the star or the voice of Lightyear now, responded to the detractors of the inclusion of this, I would just say, sexual perversion in the Disney film, saying, he said, quote, "The real truth is these people are idiots," calling, I guess, you and me, idiots for not wanting to see sex in an animated movie for children. Anyway, he went on to say, "The real truth is those people are idiots." Sorry, I read that already. he told Reuters, and slamming critics of this kiss. Quote, every time there's been a social advancement, as we wake up, the American story, the human story, is one of constant social awakening and growth. And that is what makes us good. End quote. I would have to say Romans 3 argues with that a bit, but suffice to say, radical sexual progression from the ideal in Genesis of Genesis saying, God saying, God made them male and female and commanding them to go forth and multiply, would kind of stand in opposition to this social awakening leading to us all being good. But that's a longer theological point, perhaps for another day. Again, the point is, Disney, you started making fun and movies for kids, even I know they weren't all great, but some of them had values and morals in them. Now you're just making movies to promote this agenda that, as the numbers show, nobody really wants. Just stop. Anyway, let's move on. We have now a transgender swimming ban. So according to the New York Post, swimming's world governing body, FINA, FINA, I guess, announced a ban Sunday on biological men competing in women's events unless they had transitioned before the age of 12. Social media and many outlets are celebrating this, and it is something to celebrate. Effectively, they have banned people like Leah Thomas from competing in girls' or women's swimming events because he transitioned after the age of 12. The article went on to say, or the FINA went on to say, transgender athletes who have experienced the enduring competitive advantages of male puberty flooded with testosterone, and these advantages are, according to this article, greater muscle mass, lung capacity, height, agreed, those are things. This article goes on to say they will no longer have an unfair advantage in women's competition. For example, in Thomas's example, he went from 554th ranked male in the 200 freestyle to the fastest woman in the 500 freestyle at the NCAA championships this year, which he won. So again, this is on the one hand good news because it will temporarily slow the transing of women's sports and the erasing of really the entire concept of woman from the world, which is what it is doing. It's saying, women, you don't matter, women, you don't exist, because a man can do your job, your sport, better. Show me how it's not saying that. That's what it's saying. However, I want to point to this because I'm not hearing this, I'm not seeing this in a lot of places on social media, and I think this is actually the bigger and more important point to this story. This is perhaps a small victory in this whole issue, but it's not the whole story. Remember, as I read, this is only if they did not transition before the age of 12 or after the age of 12. Because after the age of 12, again, there's puberty, testosterone, muscle mass, all those things, right? So they're saying if you transitioned before the age of 12 from a boy into a girl, then you can compete in that. This is a really important caveat, and this is how they get you. You say, oh, this is great. Boys are banned from competing in girls' sports. No, that's not what this is saying. All it's saying is you can't go through puberty and then compete in women's sports. And so all you're going to see now is the smart, or perhaps you might say evil, parents will chemically or medically transition their boys before puberty to make them seem like girls so that they can compete under these new rules, leading to more mutilation and more child abuse. So this may be a small victory for the present time, but this really will be used to force transitions of younger and younger children, and that certainly should be stopped. That's something that we really have to watch out for, and it's kind of infuriating to see at this point, and sad. It's sad. It's heartbreaking to see all of these poor boys being encouraged to try to be something they're not. Even to go back to the first story where they talk about pronouns. Pronouns is how you declare your identity. It's really not, though. Pronouns are supposed to, based on any language, I know English is wacky and weird, but go to Spanish or French or German or Greek or any other of the romantic languages, a pronoun describes what actually is. That's its grammatical function. This is where, like, is there science or is there not science? Like, what? Choose a lane. Which lane are you going to be in? Does science rule everything and therefore we can follow science? Or is science just something you make up when you want it to prove a point and you don't care when it doesn't prove the point, so just say something else? Of course, the left is going to use both tacks because they don't care about truth. They don't care about reality. And they're just going to choose the narrative that drives their agenda. But you get to this pronoun thing. In grammar, a pronoun just describes what is. A he describes a he. A she describes a she. You don't get to arbitrarily change that pronoun because you want to be something different. I know the left is saying otherwise. I know the culture is saying otherwise. But the reality is the reality, and it's going to come back to roost at some point. That is just how reality works. You can fight it. You can push back against it. You can use your words against it. But this is where you see the anger coming in. The anger comes in because the anger is all you have left. When your argument is based on, if I use enough words, those words will make reality different. Then when you say, hey, these words don't make sense, the only response can possibly be anger because you don't have anything left. There's no actual argument to any of this. It's just an argument based on words. They claim that words create reality. When you use different pronouns, they create the reality you want to create. But the reality is they don't. Words describe what really is. And this is something that we have to battle with. This is where you get back to, and I'm going to go spiritual for a second. This is where you get back to Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments say, don't lie. Why do they say don't lie? Because lying augments reality. Lying breaks relationships, especially when you're dealing with person to person. If you lie to me, I can't trust you're saying true things. If I lie to you, you can't trust that I'm saying true things. A lie is really important for social construction because I have to be able to trust that you're saying a true thing. You have to be able to trust that I'm saying a true thing. When we just make up words based on how we feel, we make up words based on what we want to be, that's just lying. Pure and simple, and then you can't trust that I'm really trustworthy. I can't trust that you really know what reality is. So how can we relate? How can we have a conversation? There's no trust there to know we're even dealing with the same universe. Is our sky even the same color in this universe? I have no idea because the words you're saying don't mean the real things. And this creates a real societal problem. And that is the moment that we find ourselves in when they are forcing you to say what they want you to say. And we see that more and more and more. And I'll continue bringing that to light because we have to realize this, that loving your neighbor doesn't mean doing whatever they want you to do. Loving your neighbor means giving them grace for the things that they are dealing with and truth because reality is a real thing. I know that's hard and it's sometimes not easy and it sometimes even hurts, but we want to be true. We have to be true in order to have a functioning society. That's just the reality of it. All right, on to one more story for the day, and we got to go back to church. And I don't even really want to play this one, but we have to play this one. So in a frankly super awkward and heretical and I don't even know, demonic church service, a quote-unquote minister invites a drag queen and drag king. So that's man dressed as a woman and woman dressed as a man. Anyway, you'll figure it out. Two, this is for a children's story time in a church doing a children's book reading during a church. Some of you have been to church. Some of you have seen this, right? Not the drag queen and king part, but, you know, someone is going to read a story, a Bible story, and so they invite the children forward. So the children come sit on the steps and listen to the Bible story. It's sweet. It's wonderful. It's a great thing when children are included in the service and children are included in the Bible stories. However, this is a drag king and a drag queen inviting children to read a book during a church service, and it really backfires. We'll watch as much of this as I can stand, and then we'll move on. So here you go.
The congregation over the years kind of say, why are there drag queens at church? And I want to say, why not? Why not? But you know, I've been a part of a lot of United Churches over my years in ministry. And well, I'm going to be honest. This is the first place I've been where we have had drag queens in church. We do this. We welcome our queen and king this morning because we want to make sure that everyone knows that all are welcome here. That who you are and how you live your life and how you share love in this world is welcome here. And there's nothing that communicates how fun life can be, how joyous, how vibrant and gorgeous life can be with God than a drag queen and king. So I invite you to come and share our story. You good?
Thank you.
And if you'd like to introduce yourself or if you have anything else to say, go for it. This is your moment.
Oh, it's our time to shine. Hello. What a joy it is to share this beautiful Sunday morning with you. It's very exciting. I've never been here before, and it's a thank you for inviting us into your church and into your hearts today. We're going to be reading Why We Fly the Rainbow today by Miss Minty Beats, which is just a fabulous name, by the way. We're going to just alternate. I'm going to read two pages, and then the lovely Katana will take over and take some pages, and we're just going to go back and forth.
Children that want to come a little bit closer, you're welcome to come up closer.
Yeah, no
you're
offense to the adults. Steps. We would love to have some kids join us. It's okay to be shy. I'm also intimidated by Katana's beauty, so.
That's not a thing.
It's a thing. Perfect.
Okay, that's all I can take for now. If you were just listening and not watching, the initial minister is a lady dressed with a rainbow. I'll just call it a shawl. It has a religious name, but it doesn't matter. And it's a rainbow shawl. The altar, which presumably is also for communion, is draped in a rainbow flag. So that's bad. And then you have the drag king, which is a woman dressed as a man, and the drag queen, which is a man dressed as a woman, come up to this stage. The king looks something like George Michael, I guess, and the drag queen looks maybe like Lady Liberty dressed in red, white, and blue with a tiara. Again, if you weren't watching, you have to see it. There's no way to see this without seeing it. Anyway, then it's interesting that the first question is, why aren't there drag queens in church? The minister, quote-unquote, says, why not? Well, I could answer that. I'm not even going to at this point. Maybe you can use your own idea of why would this not be? Well, actually, I will get to that in a moment. But before I get to that, I just want to point out what happens in this clip. If you're not seeing it, if you're just hearing it and you don't understand the full effect, they have a book, Why is the Rainbow Good or whatever it is. Why is the Rainbow Gay? I don't know. I started zoning out and I think my... Anyway. So they say, hey, why don't you... kids come down, and this goes on. I cut the video, and you can go and watch the video on YouTube or something, but this goes on for like 3 minutes where the kids are invited to come down. And in fact, what happens, again, I'm not going to play the whole video for you. You're welcome, I guess, but what actually happens is no kids come, and adults come and sit in front of them because the kids are too scared to come. And that's the only thing you can say is the kids see these two people and they don't want to sit in front of them because they're kids and these people are dressed in a really strange way. And so that's the first point that I want to bring out of this video. Drag queens are inherently sexual. The whole point is to attract a same-sex mate by dressing like the opposite sex. That's just what this is. And they're also dressed in a hyper idealized view of what the opposite sex is. Again, this man dressed like a woman kind of looks like the Statue of Liberty. Like, really. This person appears to be well over 6 feet tall because there's a person standing next to him that's coming up to, you know, like almost stomach high. Like, this person is a huge person and then has hair and this, like, 10-inch tiara on the top of his head and... It's a whole thing. And then if you missed it, the statement was, I am intimidated by this drag queen's beauty. And the drag queen answers, no, that's not a thing. And they try to have this little fake argument about like, well, no, it is a thing. No, it's not a thing. Anyway, that was a side point. So first, drag queens are inherently sexual. This is the point of a drag queen. That's why. Children, second point, have no place around drag queens or kings at all, ever. Children are, you're supposed to protect them, especially from sexual things until they're mature enough to understand it and handle it. Drag queens and kings have no place around children ever. Why this is controversial, why parents keep bringing their children into these situations, I literally cannot understand it. There is no good that can come of this. Then you get into church. To bring them to church is heretical, vile, and maybe even evil. And then finally, to celebrate them as, quote, how joyous, gorgeous, and fun life can be with God is quite literally the opposite of the gospel of Jesus. Repentance is what Jesus calls us to, not the celebration of sin. This Pride Month is a crazy time where we say, let's be prideful of our sin, where Jesus says, no, unless you repent, you too all will perish. Luke 13:1-5. Until we understand this, we are quite literally doomed. Which leads us finally to the verse of the day. If you've made it this far, thank you and congratulations. And I hope that you understand my heart. I don't want to demean anybody. I don't want to condemn anybody. That's not my job to do. What I'm trying to do is point out that this culture, this world is against God. It is against Jesus. And when this especially even comes into the church, we have to notice this. We have to point it out and say, no, this is not church. This is not following God. God does not approve of this kind of thing. And he says it over and over and over again from the beginning in Genesis to the end in Revelation. If you haven't and you want a little review of how God views certain churches, read some of Revelation. There's some churches in there that God's not super pleased with because of some of the things that they do. This is important, and we need to understand from a biblical worldview how this all relates. So our verse of the day is Romans 3:12, quoting from Psalms 14 and 53. It kind of puts them together. Romans 3:12 says, all have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's Romans 3:12. And that's a really depressing statement. And it's the opposite of what we hear from all of these stories today. These stories today, this culture today says, you are good in yourself. You're great in yourself. You need to have pride in who you are, believe who you are, love who you are. And God says, no, who you are is inherently bad because we're broken by sin. But the good news is, hear this. Please, I hope you haven't turned it off by this point. The good news is, that's not the end of the story, and that is the story of the gospel. The story of the gospel is, I'm not eternally doomed in myself with no hope. The good news of the gospel is the hope of Jesus. Jesus paid it all. You just have to repent, believe, follow God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, because Romans goes on to say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. So I hope that you recognize who you are, that you are dead in your sins, and that you recognize that Jesus came for the sole purpose of giving you life that you can have by repenting of your sins, turning to God, and changing your ways. That's my point in all of this, that you can follow Jesus with your heart and mind and soul and strength and live in this world, in the public square. I hope that you can do that together. If I am a help to you at all, like, share, subscribe. If you want to send this to one of your friends who needs to hear this message or understand just what's going on in this world, I would really appreciate that. I'm just trying to get the word out about Jesus. It's not about me. It's all about him. So for Church Public, as always, I'm Matt Odegaard, and keep the faith.